Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good morning, everybody, or afternoon, depending on when you're watching or listening to this. This is Prep Rally, a new episode here, produced by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. We're talking high school sports, as we do every Wednesday. I'm Brad Locke, your host and guest co-host, since Gene Phelps is on vacation. We got David Wheeler back with us.
A well-deserved vacation. I'm surprised he didn't take one earlier after how hard he worked during a state tournament in basketball. But yes, thank you for having me today.
Thanks for filling in, David. You can listen to us a multitude of ways. If you're watching this, you can also listen to the podcast version of this, which is just this without having to look at us. You can find it on iTunes, your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. Follow the show on Twitter at djournalpreps. David, it's baseball season. The major leagues have begun, but high school's been going on for several weeks now.
Yes, they have.
And so we've got a lot of baseball to talk about today. Some division races heating up, and we're going to talk about a couple of games in particular in just a few minutes here. But first, I want to touch on a story you had, I think it was yesterday, David, about Class 4A baseball. And you kind of noted that there's a lot of divisions where you just basically have two team races, which like divisions 1, 2, and 4,
which have the area teams.
Right. With the area 4A teams, a little bit unusual compared to the norm, I guess.
Yeah, the emphasis of that particular story, 1-4A is usually very competitive. You can have like a game separation. Some years has been a game separation between first and fifth. Yeah. Basically, that's just how competitive it is. This year, Corinth and Amory had distanced themselves a little bit from the rest of the field. I believe Pontotoc and Pontotoc was one of the ones in third place at 2 and 3, yeah, entering yesterday's play. But anyway, Corinth and Amory were distancing themselves from the rest of the field,
right,
with undefeated division records. They played each other last night. Corinth taking away the win. I believe they had a bit of a lead, and Amory made it close at the end. Yeah. They played each other again Thursday. And that goes a long way in determining some things, favorable matchups during the playoffs. With 1A through 4A, four teams getting out of the division, the first and second place teams get home games. So that's why Amory's still in a good position to get a home game first round of the playoffs, which is a big deal.
Yeah, certainly. 4A baseball is always pretty good up here. I kind of wonder how the way things shape up this year, how that speaks to the strength of 4A North Mississippi, or maybe a little bit of weakness. Maybe it's just top heavy this year.
I'm going to go this direction just to give Division 2 4A a mention. Ripley's having apparently amazing season, 18-2 record, 7-0, but that 7-0 mark is tied with Lafayette. So, and they play next week.
Yeah.
The team is maybe making inroads as far as being a good representative from the state as the playoffs, from the north half of Mississippi as the playoffs advance, would be Houston.
Yeah.
Houston is 7-0 in this division. Kosciuszko, Houston doesn't get this way much because they're in Division 4-4A. They're the only Northeast Mississippi team in that particular division.
Right.
Kosciuszko is also undefeated in that division. They play each other next week. If anybody's been paying attention to Houston's record, they have played Oxford the last two Saturdays. The aggregate, they're 8-8. Houston won 6-5 two Saturdays ago, and it was a pleasure for me to attend Oxford beating Houston in Oxford 3-2 this past Saturday. 10-inning game. I mean, if you don't mind the lack of offense, it was a great high school baseball game.
And Oxford's one of the best teams in the state in 5A.
Much less in the South region. I mean, Max Preps had them number one in the nation preseason,
yeah,
and Oxford has played a brutal schedule. Three of their losses, Oxford is 16-5 right now. Three of their losses were Alabama team, and they went 2-2 in a tournament in Georgia,
right,
one weekend. They've also lost to South Panola, and that aforementioned lost to Houston. Houston setting themselves up for a nice deep playoff run, not to discount the other people like Corinth and Amory and Ripley, who might make some inroads in the 4A playoffs.
Yeah, that kind of answers my question. Which of these 4A teams has the best shot at a state title?
Houston.
Probably Houston.
Yeah, but that's why you get on the field to determine that.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned Corinth and Amory earlier, the game last night, the big 1-4A battle between previously unbeaten teams. Corinth still unbeaten with a 9-8 win, so that's Amory's first loss.
Within division.
In division play, right? Mm-hmm. Quade Reeves, the pitcher for Corinth, ended up, like you said, David, had a lead. They kind of lost, but he stuck with Quade Reeves and his ace, and it paid off. He's 6-1 on the year. Quade is. Amory was ahead 3-0 early on.
I believe Corinth was up 9-5 or 9-6 at one point, and it ended up a one-run game.
Yeah, Melissa Metter here has the story in today's journal or at djournal.com. Check that out. And you say they play again Thursday?
Thursday, tomorrow. Yes. Hopefully, that's the game I'm going to get to attend Thursday.
Okay. Well, last night, David, you were attending Hernando at Tupelo, a division game there in 6A. So let's talk about that, David. Tupelo with the win.
Again, the trend, I mean, we talked about 4A with three divisions with two clear teams out in front of everybody else. It was the same way in 2-6A, which is Tupelo's division. Them and Hernando entered the game with undefeated division records. Yeah. Tupelo coming away with the 5-2 victory. Hernando, by the fourth or fifth inning, had a 2-1 edge in the game, and Tupelo put two runs on the board in the fifth and two runs again in the sixth inning to pull that game out.
Yeah.
Jason Garrett, the University of Memphis signee, pitched seven innings. That was a good test for him, and the fact that his two previous division starts were five-inning run rule games.
Right.
So, you know, it was good for him to go into the seventh inning in this particular case. Plus, he had a couple of big hits. LeBron Sedell, who was the division player of the year last year in 2-6A, is still only a junior, had a big hit last night. Ray Sandroni had a big hit. Steven Matthews had a big hit. I mean, it was a nice balanced team effort by Tupelo.
Yeah. And
that sets them up.
A good team, too.
Yeah. Hernando's a good team. And maybe just to point out, in Class 5A and 6A, these guys play 9 total division games, where at best other divisions like the 4A people we've been talking about, they play each other twice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Tupelo is going to have to play Hernando two more times or three total.
Wow. You know, this team's record overall is like, I think, 10-8, which isn't
11-8. They actually, Max Preps, they were missing one game on Max Preps. They're actually 11-8. Coach Reed texted me today about that.
Okay. But the division record is really what matters, setting yourself up absolutely for the playoffs. And how is this team setting up for the postseason?
I mean, they're undefeated in the division. In 5A and 6A, the division winner gets a first-round bye in the playoffs.
Okay.
And then, of course, they would get to host the series when they do start playing. The division title is not Tupelo's yet. As I mentioned, they still have to play Hernando twice. I mean, there's still margin for error right there. You know, you still have to win the games you have to win.
Yeah, I mean, they've still got, like, 4 division contests.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yeah. Two against Hernando, 1 against Columbus, and 1 against South Panola.
Okay. And they're doing this under Justin Reed, first-year head coach, replaced Gary Enos this offseason. I mean, what can you say about the job he's done? He obviously inherited a good team.
You know what? He inherited a couple of key parts coming back, but on the whole, I would have classified this as a very inexperienced team based on the playing time a lot of these guys did not get last year. Tupelo had some key graduation losses on the infield and at catcher. Ray Sandroni, I mentioned earlier, he played infield last year because of an injury, and he's the catcher this year doing a nice job. Okay. Sedell, again, was a player of the year as a sophomore. He was a great asset to have coming back. Garrett's talent is undisputed, and he's performing at the level they need. Steven Matthews also had experience coming back, but you had new third baseman, new second baseman, new outfield spot. On the whole, having talked to some parents at various times over the last few months, they like the energy that the program has right now. They're only 11-8, so you'd like to see more wins if you're a Tupelo fan. But on the whole, he's obviously, like we've said, the division games are the ones that matter, and they're undefeated, 5-0 in division, which is a great Yeah. Great thing.
Well, you know, we've got, I guess a couple of weeks left in the regular season.
April 21st for fast pitch softball and for baseball is the end of the regular season. The playoffs are almost here.
So what are some important matchups you're looking at, David, in the coming days?
Yeah, like I said, I thought Amory and Corinth was the big matchup, and Tupelo Hernando were the two big matchups this week. Next week, I think the premier matchup is in 1-3A where Kossuth and Morville are both undefeated in that particular division, and they play each other Tuesday and Friday next week. Okay. Morville, I like their pitching staff with Sam Harrington and Trace Henry and a couple of others. They had a streak a couple weeks ago where they three games, 21 innings, they allowed one hit.
Wow.
Also, mentioning 4-4A earlier with Houston. Houston Kosciuszko play next week. Okay. And in 2-4A, having mentioned Ripley and Lafayette, they play each other next week.
Wow.
Also in 1-2A, East Union, which is a traditional small school team that makes good playoff runs, they play Ingomar, which was in 1A last year.
Right.
And is in 2A this year. Obviously, we know the success of their girls basketball team from the just recently completed season. Ingomar is doing well. Both Ingomar and East Union are undefeated in that particular division, 1-2A, and they play each other next week. So, I mean, there are just a bunch of important matchups next week that will go a long way in determining home field advantage, et cetera, in the playoffs.
Okay, so yeah, just things getting intense on the baseball diamonds in the area, and we'll have plenty of coverage from David Wheeler and others on that. Let's just hit a few quick notes here. Things going on in high school sports in the area. Archery state championships just completed. We had some area teams bring home the hardware. State titles for Saltillo in 5A, South Pontotoc in 3A, Tremont in 1A, and that was on Monday. Then yesterday, Mantachie bringing home the title in 2A. So congrats to those teams. Need to remind you that coming up this weekend, the 47th annual Daily Journal Relays, that's on Saturday out at Tupelo High School, Tupelo Boys and Myrtle Girls are the defending champs.
Gene will be back in vacation just in time to cover
In time to cover the track meet. Gene Phillips will have coverage of that in Sunday's Journal. Look for that. A little football news, coaching news there in Lafayette County. Lafayette High School has a new football coach, Michael Fair. Comes from Senatobia, where he got things turned around pretty quick. I think they had only a couple of wins the year before he got there, and they had 10 wins last year and won the Division II-4A title.
Lafayette seems to be very loaded most years in recent memory, but a point you might have already seen, it's unusual to make the move within your division.
It is. But it looks like they got a good coach. He replaces Eric Robertson, so Lafayette football under new leadership. We'll see how that goes. That brings us to the athletes of the week. We do this every week. We find a male and a female high school athlete and recognize them for their accomplishments on the field of play from the past week. We've got double honorees on the male athlete of the week. Jacob Wilcher and his brother Nicholas Wilcher, baseball players for Kossuth. Probably know the name. Jacob, a senior. He was the Daily Journal Player of the Year 2 years ago. He was a sophomore. He's an Ole Miss signee.
Ole Miss signee.
Plays outfield, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. And then his younger brother, Nicholas, is a junior. And remind me what position he plays, David, because I'm not sure.
You know what? I think he does play a little outfield, too. I think he plays right field, as a matter of fact, and Nicholas. And
I think Nicholas pitched.
Yeah. Nicholas more so than Jacob.
Okay. Oh, well, anyway, here's what they did last night. They each had three hits in a 17-0 win over Belmont. But not only did they each have three hits, Nicholas and Jacob each had a double, a triple, and a home run. So they each were a single.
I was checking Max Preps just before we came on the air, and Jacob is sixth in the state on the Max Preps standings with a .585 batting average.
Hey,
just to mention, I mentioned just maybe to a little sidetrack here.
Sure.
Mentioned Houston, Luke Hancock, sophomore catcher for Houston, is at .566. He's 10th in the state.
Wow.
Mentioned Ingomar, Kelton Hall,
good basketball player too.
Yes, 16th in the state, .545. Mentioned Corinth, Kyle Krieger from Corinth is 18th in the state at 523. And I mentioned Morville, you know, Kossuth and Morville. We're talking about two players of the week from Kossuth.
Yeah.
Andy Franks from Morville is at 509. And Trace Henry from Morville, both of these guys are underclassmen as well, is at 500.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's what makes that matchup so intriguing next week.
A lot of good bats there on those teams. Female athlete of the week. Speaking of a good bat, Caitlin Jackson of Pine Grove. She's been tearing it up the last few days. Over her last four games, 10 hits. She had a pair of three-hit games in there. Three of those games, Pine Grove won. Pine Grove's having a tough season record-wise, but they've been on a little bit of a roll lately, and Caitlin Jackson.
You know what?
Had a lot to do with that.
They had some basketball players maybe just getting in.
Probably was.
Part of it.
Because they have a good girls basketball program. Mm-hmm. They make the playoffs pretty much every year. So Caitlin Jackson and then Jacob and Nicholas Wilcher, your athletes of the week here on Prep Rally. And that's it for the show. Unless you got anything else, David, I'm out. I'm done.
Oh, there's so much more in Northeast Mississippi. But if time's a factor, we're ready.
Well, I mean, there's so much going on this time of year. It's spring. Baseball, you got softball, you got track, you got
golf,
and tennis. I guess you're gonna have spring football starting pretty soon for teams.
Some have already started, probably
have. Yeah, so we got plenty to talk about every week, but we can you know, talk about so much at a time, but we'll have plenty to talk about next week. Gene Phelps should be back next week.
He can touch on the softball a little bit better.
Yes, exactly. So thanks to David Wheeler for co-hosting again. Again, check us out on Twitter at The Journal Preps. Tell your friends about us. You can listen, of course, at preprally.djournal.com or on iTunes or on your podcast app if you don't have an iPhone. And it's all for free. So thanks again for tuning in, and we will see you next time.